right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Ernesto could become a major hurricane soon as it continues its trek across the Caribbean. CBS's Cristian Benavides is in Miami.
While Ernesto isn't expected to directly impact the U.S. mainland, beachgoers are being warned of rough surf and rip currents through the weekend.
Donald Trump vows to make America more affordable again.
Vote Trump and your incomes will soar, your savings will grow, young people will be able to afford a home, and we will bring back the American dream bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
The former president campaigning today in North Carolina. Vice President Harris will be there on Friday. And NASA says it could be another week or so before it decides how and when to bring two astronauts home. Chief Astronaut Joe Acaba.
This is hard on crew members and their families, and we take that into account. But again, as professional astronauts, they're prepared for this and they're doing great.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Well, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Five incumbents in the Wisconsin legislature are going home after Tuesday's primaries. That's how many incumbents ran against each other under new maps. The winners are Republicans Elijah Behnke, Dan Knodel, Nate Gustafson, and John Spiros, and Democrat Dora Drake. Rebecca Cook is the winner in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary in western Wisconsin. James Kelly reports.
Cook faced off against Katrina Shankland and Eric Wilson on Tuesday for the right to take on Congressman Derek Van Orden in the general election this November. Her campaign focused on her lived experience as a former small business owner and growing up on a dairy farm to relate to voters.
Civic Media's James Kelly reporting. Meanwhile, Republican Tony Weed won his primary in northeast Wisconsin's 8th District. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Unofficial election results are in after voters went to the polls yesterday. In the newly drawn 86th Assembly District, incumbent John Spiros received over 43% of the vote to Donna Roser's 31.7%. Spiros has served in that district for the past 12 years. The High Ground in Neillsville will host this year's Male Veterans Retreat in September. Veterans are invited to attend September 27th through the 29th. The weekend will focus on mindfulness, meditation, and meaningful connections. Veterans can relax and unwind while the High Ground retreat staff take care of food and lodging. There will be team-building activities to promote collaboration, communication, and trust among veterans. Activities could include archery or equestrian therapy. Registration is required and space is limited. You can call 715-743-4224 for more details. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Dodgers beat the Brewers again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. L.A. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th home run of the year in a 7-2 win over the Brewers at American Family Field. Ohtani now leads the National League in home runs. A rough night for the Brewers starting pitcher Colin Ray, who gave up all of the Dodgers, 7 runs and 6 innings of work. The Brewers have lost 3 in a row. Manager Pat Murphy says his team is sputtering right now. NFL experts keep asking, do the Packers really have a true number one receiver right now? Matt LaFleur had this to say.
I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents. They're all capable of being a number one in some capacity.
As Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s, high tomorrow mid-70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday, high low 70s. The weekend looks nice, with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. It's 82 right now.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by one of the most reasonable men in Wisconsin politics, Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll talk about Tim Walz, inflation. We'll talk about it all. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, there it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. That's the number. Very quickly, if you want to call, it is Wednesday night. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, though, no Teacher Hallie tonight. Teacher Joanna and anybody else watching on the Facebook, the Twitter X, the YouTube, you're like, Johnny's not there either. Yeah, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Johnny right now.
We've only had one of you for like five episodes in a row.
It's been... You know, it's the way it's summer. It's the end of summer and it's getting close to back to school. And so we'll be talking a lot about that. But yes, Teacher Joanna's in the house. Me, Jess, we're all here. That's all we ever need. I mean, come on, people. You can jump in. Hey, put in the comments. We said there are so many ways to participate in the show. Easily, though, give us a call, jump on. Hey, you're like, I can't talk to people on the radio. You don't have to talk to people on the radio. You're talking to Teacher Joanna and Tim and Jess. You know, come on, right, Joanna?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, this is just reminding me of old times. Like, how long ago did we start this whole connection? And it did used to be just, you know, it would be you conducting one interview. And we'll just feel nostalgic today. And I do, you know, I don't know if on your iPhone you get the memories that pop up.
Yes.
I got a memory that popped up today that was of the thunder snowstorm.
Yes.
Where we were rallying for the budget. Back in 2019.
I remember that.
Right. And you were, you know, so right. This will just be another time where it's you and I doing our thing.
Doing our thing. The other thing we're always doing too, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its really crappy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. People out there listening to that going, whoa, what was that? Hey, just think about it. If you're out there and you're saying, I'd like to have my business or what I do read on the radio like that. Hey, guess what? You too could be a sponsor of Busted Pencils. We got no problems. We love that. We would love to do more ads talking about that. And then the other thing, too, anybody else, we said, you know, you're watching on the YouTube, you're watching on the Facebook, you're watching on the Twitter X. You're also potentially listening on the Civic Media app. Remind people every night, make sure you have that, download that to your phone, because as Jess always reminds us, the sound quality, Jess, right?
Absolutely. However, right now, if you are in the Madison area, please switch to listening on WAUK. The Madison line is currently down. We just got a message about that.
So if they're in the app and they're trying to listen through the WMDX link.
Right. It's not going to come through.
It's not going to come through. So there you go. You can use the WAUK, the walk link, and that way you can tune in to hear, you know, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna in the house. Well, Teacher Joanna, it has. It's been a week now. And wait a minute. Good evening, my teacher friends from Sherry and Horicon. You got to put that out there. Good evening, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
We love it when she lets us know that she's out there and she's not late tonight. We appreciate that, especially. So, all right. How about just a quick check-in, Teacher Joanna? We've been having lots of conversations, the politics that are going on, lots of politics. In fact, last night, election night in Wisconsin, pretty big, you know, a ballot constitutional amendment initiative came and was defeated. And this, when I first read that, it was like, oh, defeated. Defeated typically gets pointed out as a bad thing.
Right.
On this, this was like, no, this was a good thing. What do you know about defeating these two ballot initiatives?
Well, I know there was a really strong get the vote out effort regarding the referendum. And I think that people are really, I think the Project 2025 stuff has like perked people up in terms of paying more close attention to what is coming forth on ballots. And so I think it did, it was rejected pretty handily. And I guess, you know, the majority of folks just don't want to see powers of our governor limited.
Yeah. I mean, this was essentially saying like, look, the governor, if you get money from the feds, we don't want you to have any ability to disperse those monies. We in the legislature would like to have that responsibility.
Yes, and it's a super active legislature that does so much more than gavel in and gavel out.
There we go, Jess. So it's like, no, 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 no. Sorry, we're going to keep that power right exactly where it is and keep it there, you know, and then coming forward. So that was kind of like the big highlights last night. Coming up, though, Teacher Joanna, next week in Chicago, the Democratic National Convention starts on Monday. And here's the other thing. Civic Media will be bringing you top-notch coverage. Tune into your favorite station for hosts on the ground in Chicago and coverage for each night's keynote speakers. And I got to say, I am looking forward to hearing from Tim Walz.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got to look back. It's like, man, we were just so happy last week. And I was wondering if Teacher Joanna, you're still feeling that kind of like, this is truly a real unique kind of like, this is the real deal of a teacher.
It is. And there was an article or some information that came out that made me really see it when they were talking about net worth.
Yeah.
And it was saying that like Tim Walz's net worth is like $300,000 or something like that. And that, you know, his biggest whatever is a heavily mortgaged Cape Cod home.
Okay.
That they sold. And that was just really related fun. That was like real deal. It's like him and his wife are educators. So yep, here's where they're at, you know.
Right.
And then it was just very relatable about like, yeah, I feel like this is more where Americans are at versus where many of our politicians are right now. You know, I think the other candidate has millions,
right?
You know, millions in the bank, millions in assets. And so that part just felt more relatable. And then the other part though is some of the attacks are just, you know, like they're also, I guess, sadly relatable where I'm like, you know, we're so used to the teacher attacks. We're like, oh yeah, they're going to say this and oh yeah, they're going to say that. But feeling still really good that his stuff is not, again, it's like us teachers where it's like, it's not partisan.
No.
It is just like, here's good policy.
Right.
Here's good policy for students. Here's good policy for families. And yeah. So, I'm still feeling excited.
I'm feeling excited. I'm still loving it. And I read a really great blog that kind of did the analysis of Tim Walz from the standpoint of saying, like, you know, looking at and saying, what does he support? Because in the past, we talked about this, particularly, you know, Democrats and Republicans have disappointed educators alike for a long, long time.
Oh, and
so
yeah.
So the reality was going, okay, so what does Tim Walz, is this going to be another Democrat that, quote, supports public education? And it was like, no, they did a full contrast of going like, here's Tim Walz's position on, you know, high stakes testing. And guess what? Nothing there. It just kind of like makes the idea of saying like, whatever kids need to do to show us that they know what they know, we need to accept that. So not coming in with this kind of reform movement of putting this forward, and continue to say like his accomplishments as an educator, the best way to, you know, to kind of say it's like, okay, he's been a coach, he's been a mentor, he's been there. But that whole idea though, too, of bringing in universal breakfast and lunch for all kids, I mean, that's the best illustration of going, that's what this dude is about.
Well, and it's just like, and what I was saying, it's just good policy.
Yeah.
Like, we should meet the full range of students' needs while they're in our care. And so that's just an example of good policy. Something else that I was made aware of was his stance on vouchers. So I was reading this article where it said that, like, right, Democrats and his legislator were like, well, you know, we should at least give the Republicans a bone on this voucher thing. So maybe we can make it this way and that way. And one, that was just really illuminating to me because I have suspected that that is what may have occurred in the state, you know, here in Wisconsin.
There you go.
And that, right, Tim Walz was like, no, there's no, you know, we don't play with this. We just need more funding for our public schools.
Yeah, and he just draws out that kind of a saying, like, look, and particularly where he grew up and where he taught, rural Minnesota, guess what? Vouchers, there's no choice. The choice is whether or not to fund fully the local public schools that are the foundation, the bedrock of democracy, the cornerstones of the communities, or send your money elsewhere. And sorry, that isn't really, that's no choice. So the idea of vouchers, no. That is code for defunding local public schools.
Right. And then being able to take such a clear stance, just understanding that we are in no position to negotiate away anything. Because we don't have, you know, it's like there's nothing, there's not enough as it is. And so that was just, you know, it's something that, again, is very relatable and that I can understand and understand how it really helps.
Loving the help. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, the number is 855-752-4842. Hey, anything right now if you want to talk about it, but check this out. Teacher Joanna, it really is back to school. I got to hear what Teacher Joanna's got to say. More coming up.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Our southern border isn't chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. It's Educators Amplified Wednesday night in the house. Teacher Joanna with us. It's Jess and Tim. Yeah, Johnny and Teacher Hallie, they got other responsibilities. The number is 855-752-4842. If you want to give us a call, jump in, talk about it. But Teacher Joanna, it is officially back to school, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yes, it is. I've been back in, but right. My official day is Friday.
What does back to school? So this Friday is your official first day.
Yes. Okay.
What does the official first day of back to school look like for Teacher Joanna?
Well, mine is a little bit different than it used to be. So okay. My official back to school will be a day long department meeting where we will go over all of our goals for the year and all of our kind of assignments. And it'll be a day long meeting.
Is this empowering to have an entire day devoted to goals or, you know?
Well, you know, I can't really say. I mean,
right.
Yes and no, because it is the whole, like, it's going to be dictated to me, you know? So it is going to be like, here's the game plan. So, but when I think about when I was a class, you know, like fully, like had my own class, because now it's like I oversee several classes.
Right.
And when it was like just like singularly me, it was very different. It was just kind of like a little bit of pomp and circumstance and kind of like review of like PowerPoints that the superintendent had put together before for the school board. And they like replay it back to you as like, and here's what we're doing and here's what's important. It's usually meetings. I've had years though, where they've switched it and they've let you come in your first day and have just work time and setting up your classroom. That was always my favorite because otherwise, you really are sitting through these meetings thinking about everything. You know, I would just bring my notebook and make my list of all the things that I needed to do. But that was rare. That is rare if you get to go in, or maybe not. Callers could let us know. But I remember it was just a few times that it was like, we got work time first. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, in fact, back to school right now, listeners out there, call us with your best back to school encounter, you know, particularly if you're a teacher too, bringing this and you know, worst back to school. I could say the same thing, Teacher Joanna. I remember a couple back to school, two days of what they called professional development, which were 2 days of the school district, either under the superintendent and the principals, put together. You know, they called it professional development, but yeah, as you said there, I sat along with all of my other teacher colleagues, and we mostly sat through those professional developments with a, oh my God, why are we sitting here now, sitting through these people? First of all, most of them typically are people who are paid way too much money to come in and tell us things we already know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not very inspiring, not very uplifting, but it kind of like you're going, wait, you paid these people to come in here and talk to us all day long when I could be setting up my classroom, you know, and feeling that. So it makes me think about this as we're going back to school again. What are those memories that people have about that? Particularly, you know, we're sitting here. Cam from Appleton texted in, I remember I almost lost computer privileges for the whole year because I hacked the printers in the school to display a message that said, feed me, babies.
I was going
to
say.
Back to school, but oh, goodness.
Right.
Cam.
Well,
so you've been on this since seventh grade, huh?
Well, hey, what would we do without our smartphones to text our friends? That has been a helpful technology in terms of surviving, because there really is a template. It really is kind of like song and dance PowerPoint of like district goals. And then, like you said, Tim, then they bring in some keynote. Mm-hmm. There might be a couple really bad YouTube videos, too, that you have to watch that are supposed to be like inspirational, motivational, mega, mega sports references. That something that was always like, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
really, my history has been that, right, a lot of like really like masculine type of like, and we're going to go out and kill it this school.
Male macho-ness. We're taking everything and we're breaking stuff and we're taking names. We're going to kick. You're like, wait, what is all this anger and male hostility about? Really? Is this about test scores?
Well, I was going to say, and then you can get it another way, because I've gotten the whole like the school year started out with shaming, where it was like, here is what everybody did last year and these scores stink and this attendance is horrible. And those are really hard when you start the school year with like talking to like that. Oh man. So yeah, we've seen all the different flavors, and people like our listener, in a way, it might seem a little naughty, but I understand.
Cam, no, keep sending them. Cam type back in. Hey, if you don't want them, I can stop sending them. No, Cam, we love the participation. Yeah, Teacher Joanna, though, that's the other one, too. It's kind of like that. So I would say, you know, and again, teachers out there, Cam's participating through the text. You can call us 855-752-4842. That back to school PD, what did that mean? You know, was it this, again, overpaid person who's talking at you when you would much rather be doing what you should be doing to get your classroom ready? Or is it, you know, a bunch of male masculine kind of like, we're going to tear this school year down, darn it. Or Teacher Joanna, I'd say the other one of going like, okay, you teachers, here's the disaster you did last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're not going to have that kind of year this year because we're, you know, and you're sitting there going, it's like, wait, what is the point of this? Is this to empower? Is this really back to school? Welcome back to school. Think about that, you know, as we're coming into, what would it mean? And the other part, if you want to participate from the standpoint of saying, though, what would a great back to school PD look like? What would it be if you could design it? I have lots and lots of ideas about things we could be doing for sure. Yeah, and, you know, maybe some of that would be hacking in. I always like the idea of the potential, you know, getting into the superintendent's PowerPoint before they put it up there, you know, and kind of hijacking one of their slides with something like that. You know, that'd be a little bit funny to see that.
Well, a question I always ask about this and many things is, what would it look like if we were truly centering educators? If we were getting, you know, PD, if we were having, when we gather with the frame, you know, the framing of what would it look like if educators and educator needs were centered? I think it'd look and feel very different.
I'm going to leave it right there. There's the question. Call us with that.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance will campaign in Milwaukee Friday. Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris plans to rally in Milwaukee next Tuesday. Both campaigned in Eau Claire last week. One hiccup in Wisconsin on primary election day. Voters in the Douglas County town of Summit had the wrong assembly race on their ballots. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there's nothing in state law about what happens next.
And so the county clerk, the municipal clerk, and the ballot canvassers, the chief inspectors, they're all going to have to work together in part of a public process to figure exactly what the best course of action is going to be here.
The mistake affects no more than about 700 voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Police are looking for two people who trespassed and stole from a property in the town of Richfield. The Adams County Sheriff's Office said on Sunday, August 11th, two individuals entered a building in the 200 block of Cottonville Avenue. The same two suspects trespassed on the property earlier in the month. You can see pictures on the Adams County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. If you have any information or can identify the suspects, you can contact Deputy McCormick at 608-339-3304. A section of County Highway T will be closed intermittently today. Wood County Highway Department crews are patching pavement on County Highway T between U.S. Highway 10 and County Highway N. Culverts were replaced this spring and summer, and paving crews will be working to patch those areas. Please avoid the area so crews can complete their work by 4 p.m. today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Isn't it annoying when you're trying to make out with someone but your spouse is standing right there? Apparently this was an issue for newlywed Tom Cruise and his co-star Gina Gershon while filming the 1988 movie Cocktail. Gershon appeared on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live and said that Mimi Rogers was always present during her intimate love scenes with Cruise. Sounds like maybe Rogers wished Cruise did not insist on doing his own stunts. Celebrities have weird quirks just like you. Katy Perry recently revealed a bedtime routine she does that involves lint rolling the bottom of her feet during a recent conversation with British Vogue's In the Bag. Immediately following her admission, she says, "Is that weird? We all do weird things, and I just shared mine with the world." Fair enough, Katy. Staying in the spirit of this beat, here's a Schwabe health and beauty tip. Never accidentally use a dustbuster on your uvula. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, mid-70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday. High, low 70s. The weekend looks nice with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. Right now it's 80.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
A lot of us were alive to remember. For some, it's just legend. The 1982 Brewers World Series run. Join us this Thursday, noon to 2 on the Allball Show, as we welcome Kelly Call, producer, and Sean Hannish, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Milwaukee Brewers. We're giving away 4 tickets to the Brewers game and 4 tickets so you can be at the world premiere on September 13th. Join us on Thursday.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays, noon till 2. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. Also, all things sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hello.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna and Jess and Tim. It's just the three of us tonight. We said Teacher Hallie and Johnny, they got things to do, and hey, we can get that. I don't know, maybe they're getting ready back to school stuff, but that's the topic tonight. Talking about back to school. Teacher Joanna, kind of given this from the standpoint of what does back to school mean for you, the teacher, the educator, what does that, you know, we did some talking a lot about going, you know, it's mostly it's in my experience, it's either been, you know, a professional development with a paid speaker that I really don't need to hear from because I am a professional teacher. And the fact is that, you know, or there, you know, well, actually we said three, or there's, you know, this kind of rah, rah, let's go get them team. Or there's the, oh my, you guys were so bad last year and we're going to start this year and let you know how bad you were. So painful, Joanna.
It is. Well, and the divide, as you were saying all that, I think about the divide between going back to school is that's like the first hurdle. So you think about like, you're kind of like, one, everyone's kind of bummed, right, that their time is coming to an end. And then you think like, oh, and my first hurdle is I kind of got to get through that stuff in order to get to my kids. I think we'd feel different if we had time to work and got right to our kids, because that is the thing. Like everyone will say, they'll be like, "Yeah, not really crazy about the meetings, but I'm excited." You know, that is what I'm starting to hear my friends saying. You know, like, "Oh, I put this together. I'm looking forward to seeing my kids. I'm looking forward to having time and setting up my class." And so you kind of live between those two worlds. But darn it, it's kind of like those emails, those meetings and the rah-rah, whatever, is like your first hurdle to get to the good stuff.
And the fact that you framed that as a hurdle says a lot. I mean, thinking about that, right? You know, I've been in this education business or endeavor or adventure for over 30 years. Guess what? My first year, I said exactly what you just said, and all the way to this point, you go. So it's not like this isn't known that, look, if you really, really, really wanted to tap into the educators, the teachers, the support staff, and get them really fired up for back to school, you would think 30 years of evidence of bad PD, shaming, or rah-rahing, you would say, when is it going to finally go away? And let's have a back to school about what it means to truly welcome back our children, our students, the families. What would that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry. I mean, I can talk about that. But first, I want to say that it's just really reflective to me again of the system is oriented towards more the needs or the desires of the administrators and the people who hold power. Because if we were talking about what you're talking about, it would look different. If we were like, our core work is making sure that educators are in a place to do the best possible job that they can this year, it wouldn't look like that. You know, it would look like, yep, we're gonna, I don't know, again, give you time, have you process, ask you what your needs are, offer assistance for what your needs are, and all of that. Now, educators are incredible little beans because they work around all of this to still pull it off. You know, so the students and families really have no idea, kind of like the workarounds that the teachers would do. And I know for myself. Some of the things that I would do to start off a school year so that I felt really good and so that it was really welcoming and inclusive to my students was, first, I would attempt to have, well, not attempt because I did it. I would have some kind of meaningful connection with the families in advance of everything. And so I'll start calling around this time or even earlier. You know, I'd call a couple of families a day and just introduce myself and kind of remind them about when some, you know, like when registration is and things like that, and say, I just wanted to call and say, I'm excited about the school year, anything in particular going on, and offer to meet in advance. Now, again, this is outside of the contract often. And so, but it's that kind of pre-work that would really having so some kind of meaningful connection in advance of things happening was really helpful to me in terms of how I was going, knowing what I was heading into and how I would design my groups, my spaces, my places, and things like that.
Mm. What was that? What was that, Jess?
You're always so surprised, Tim. We do this every day.
Democracy in action. What do we got, Jess?
For today, our democracy in action, the core democratic value that we are highlighting is patriotism, having a devotion to our country and the core democratic values. This goes out to teachers for all of the preparatory work that goes into making a space ready for building a democratic classroom. As teacher Joanna is saying, this is almost exclusively work that teachers aren't paid for. This is work that teachers do out of love and devotion to this country, to their students, and to the work that they do. That is today's Democracy in Action.
I love that, man. Teacher Joanna, I see those eyes lighting up on that. Man, Jess really delivered on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great reminder of service, you know, that we work in service.
You work in service and you talked about this, and sadly, these are things that, quote, you're not getting paid for. You're not doing this. And you say, you know, taking a systemed look at this and say, why are we not doing what we know is important? As you just said, the idea of individually reaching out to families and students to say, you know, hey, you're coming back to school. I'm going to be your teacher this year. Looking forward to meeting you. Here are some things that you might want to do. I mean, that whole idea of welcoming, recognizing that and saying, you know, this is what it means to truly set up a classroom. When we say inclusive, you know, that we're not talking about special education inclusion here. We're saying right off the bat, inclusive. In other words, as the student, as the family comes to school that day, they feel like they're part of the classroom.
Yeah, and what I was talking about too with this individual reach out is very different than how things are currently organized, right? Because most schools have an open house night, which is actually really chaotic when you have your 30 students coming to bring all of their supplies in one night. So that's a good example of something to like rethink and be like, did you really feel like you made a connection that night? You know what I mean? Was it really soothing? Because it's actually way more chaotic than what the experience is probably really going to be like for the student. That's just one example. Like I said, I would have always preferred to be, and because teachers are usually paid, you know, or it's work, you know, it's considered like a half day of work or something. It's in their calendar normally to do an open house night. And I would much rather take those hours to be able to do individual contacts. I mean, and now you could virtually meet your students, right? You could be like, hey, we're going to meet online really quick to be able to be like, hi, you know, and I could show even the background and, you know, everything. So that's an example to me of like concept. We could do it better now because I do think that students really benefit from having a really clear picture of what day one is going to look like. You know, they're nervous. Mm. And so when you have a clear picture, that anticipatory set, I talk about that a lot, right, in education, when you know what to anticipate, we have clear space, clear place, you know what's going to happen. That's just so worth it. And then when those kiddies come, there are really important things to do that I prepare for. Like this time of year, I'm thinking about and helping other teachers think about, like, what are we going to do to build community day one? Mm. You know, like, are we going to go right into determining like shared values and classroom expectations together. And thinking of the little kind of like icebreaker activities to do and determining, again, the spaces and places. I put a lot of time into like making sure that things are clear for the students. Mm. So when I was younger, I used to think like, oh yeah, hey, you know, I'm a high school teacher and I want to be cool. Maybe we, you know, the kids could like sit wherever they want. Over the years, I found that that's really not good. Like people want to, they're nervous coming in.
Yeah.
And it really helps to just know like, oh, there's a label with my chair. Okay, I know exactly where to go.
Right.
And so I think having that set up for kids right away is something that like alleviates
that stress level. Yeah, that anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that. It's just like the last thing, you're nervous, you're coming in, you're meeting your teacher, you know, and I said a lot of my experience was with fifth graders, and it was great, you know, because in an elementary school, they were going to be the top dogs that year, you know, they're the big fifth graders. But to see, as you said, they'd come in, you know, back to school night is the way, what we talked about, they'd be coming in with their parents, and, you know, had that look of like, oh my God, I'm, you know, I heard about Mr. Slecker. I saw him when we were in fourth grade. Now I'm really in his class. And
big old there, scary Mr. Slecker.
He's more mean than we thought he, no. But setting up that kind of flow to come in and say, you know, it's like, and I say like, hey, Jacob, take it out. You know, there's your seat back there. You know, go back, take your parents back there, show them some of the things we have. Get that. As you say, it's comforting to go like, but to let them have, yeah, you thought about that, going like giving them the ability to choose. Sometimes direction really makes a difference in really reducing the anxiety. The other point here, and I see Jess is putting this in there, you know, what about the physical space, classroom design? What do you think about there, Teacher Joanna?
Well, classroom design, again, that's part of like the preparation. Like, is this going to be, is it going to flow? Is it not messy? I'm one of like that, you know, if it's like cluttered and, you know, squeezed in, that sets a tone. So you spend a lot of time kind of clearing out, cleaning up. I like to have really dedicated, and most teachers do, like stations where people, yeah, where the kids knows like, this is where we track attendance. This is where we keep lunch. This is where you can always get up and get any supplies. So it's really important to have that stuff ready to go, clearly marked, and you be on the ready with what directions you're going to provide on, yeah, how to use those spaces. I also think, though, things like, I'm very big into music, and making sure, oh man, I love having a great Bluetooth speaker, yeah, because I like to set the environment with music.
Right.
Sometimes scent, that's gone back and forth over the years. Mm. Yeah, I like to use like music, scent, and then definitely artwork. I don't know. And I usually make changes based on what students the year before have talked about, like, or, okay, you know, when I sit back and reflect, like what worked well, what didn't, right, work well.
It's always putting those things together like that. You just think it's like, yeah, this really worked well. This worked only partially, but you know what? I still think it's a good idea. Students seem to like it, but we can make arrangement, you know, rearrangements, revisions. It's always that. Yeah, it's back to school. It's busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated Educators Talking Education. It's Wednesday night. It's Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna here, 855-752-4842. It is, yeah, it's truly back to school. What does it mean for teachers back to school? What does it mean for students? Families, if you're out there and you're sitting there going, I didn't even know all of this happens. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. What have been your experiences? What are those best back to school nights that you remember as a parent when you brought your child into? Hey, and even you could share with us some of the ones you didn't like. The number is 855-752-4842. It's Busted Pencils. Man, give us a call in a minute.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She loves to dance, she loves to sing, she does
dancing and singing. Yes, that's what we always love to do on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, teacher Joanna in the house, Tim, Jess, Johnny, and Hallie. Hey, they had things to do getting ready for back to school. It's been all over back to school. What does it mean from bad PD, good PD, getting that classroom set up and ready to go? And now kind of coming into this and say, Joanna, you know, I'm going to phrase this very simply. What if I was setting up my classroom to be a democratic classroom, what it would look like? I think about that and go back to when I started, the whole idea of democracy and community, that really wasn't the thing that we were doing. It was, you know what? Here are the rules in Mr. Slecker's classroom. Here, and in that sense, I was presenting the dictatorship.
Right. Autocratic.
Autocratic. It was like, you know, here are the rules. And in fact, when you break this rule, here is what's going to be consequence one. You break that rule again, here's consequence two. You break that rule again, here's the letter your parents are going to be getting from me. You know, and to think about that and go, man, was that necessary? Because, boy, that really didn't create a sense of inclusion, as we were talking about, inclusiveness. Community. And I think about that, you know, too, it's like public education as being the bedrock of democracy. Boy, were we modeling though rule following? And man, sometimes rule following isn't necessarily democracy, especially if you don't have any say. I think about maybe that is. And so as you're bringing in the students, how do they get to see themselves back to school as being a contributing participant member in the classroom this year and kind of flipping that?
Well, thankfully, I've been able to combine my experience with youth and what I've observed with systems now that are more informed by neuroscience and what really works. You know, so those, when you and I started back in the early 90s, these autocratic measures, I mean, that is what we were told, but they were uninformed because the information wasn't available then about, you know, we were just using fear to get kids to comply. And so now we have more information available and practices, like I said, through experience, tried and true, and well researched, that we really can, we are more effective when kids consent. And so setting up a democratic classroom is finding out what will kid, you know, how can you get kids consent rather than how do you
mandate exert compliance?
Yeah. Exert control.
Yeah.
And so like, I think I had mentioned earlier, some of that really is just, you can hold what's called a value circle with students where you really sit down and say, how do we want life to be in here? And so what does that mean? I mean, and me in particular, I work with high school students, so this is very reasonable. But I have friends who are elementary teachers who do the same things, right? And so I think having like a value circle and determining together what are we going to live by in here and being explicit about what that means. Right. I think that's really inviting. And then that leads into what's called shared agreements. So based on the values and things that the kids think are important, you come up with some shared agreements. An example could be like, people would say, students always do value like safety in terms of like they want to feel safe. Right. So that could then turn into a shared agreement that we will always use language that, is kind instead of, and because kids nowadays, too, they really recognize threat is not necessarily just external. They're very aware of like psychological safety and how language can be threatening or proximity can feel threatening and things like that. So I think about identifying your shared your shared values and then creating shared agreements from that.
Yeah, and I think about it too. Now, there are some things where we help them. They say back from back to truly a democracy. Guess what? There are some rules that we all have to follow, and there are rules. But how do we, as a group or a community, a classroom is a community.
Yes,
I like the way you said that. How do we come up with our shared values that we're all going to be contributing to, and also participating in dialogue when maybe, this is the other thing. Do students, how do they know that they're allowed to question policies and procedures? Do they have a voice in saying, I'm not sure this is working for me, or the other students in the class, we got together and we thought, teacher Joanna, maybe we could do it this way instead. Thinking about those things, and you say, setting that up for in a classroom so that students know that they have the ability to voice concerns and potentially not ever have those concerns. It may not be answered in the way they want, but the reality is that they have and feel that they have the ability to say that their voice does matter.
Well, I think a step further from shared agreements then, and this happens, is that you do have a community agreement then about how you will address problems when they come up. And you have like a system for doing that, like that it's very clear to everybody, like this is how we address problems and this is how we work through them. And I think I might have talked about it before. I use balance in the process a lot, which is a four-part thing where it's like you always start by getting acquainted. Then you have some questions that build understanding. Then you address real issues. And then you develop a plan. And so the kids know that that's the cycle. That's the sequence that we'll use. I think that is newer, this whole like sharing power with students, because how you and I came up, that was not a thing.
There was no power sharing at all. Busted Pencils Educators Amplified in the house, man. Too Busted Pencils, thanks Minocqua Brewing Company for sponsoring Busted Pencils. They are making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Teacher Joanna, man, thank you so much for busting pencils tonight.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
On our next show, Todd is joined by Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, creators of Just a Bit Outside, a brand new documentary about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers run at the World Series. Tune in for your chance to win some tickets.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly.